You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of James. Chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Last week, we kicked off the book of James, and it's going to be a great, great study this semester that we're going to have. But before we get there, or while you're turning there, we've all been praying for the fires in Los Angeles and lifting up that to the Lord and just praying for help and watching that on the news. We told you a couple weeks ago that we gave $25,000 to go to a group called Send Relief, S-E-N-D, Send Relief. And so it's a partnership that we have long term. And so great that we have that. But I wanted to let you know what we did this week as well. We just were praying and thinking about how can we even be more helpful. And so there was a church planter in Los Angeles, the east part of Los Angeles. And I actually did a conference and he was the worship leader. And I want to show you a picture of him and his family. So this is Pastor Trenton here that we have. And we have sent his church $20,000 to be able to help with the relief efforts through his church. So can we just get a little cheer for that? And we're just able to do that. So I just want you to know that we've sent now $45,000 to Los Angeles, and that's really just your giving. We're ready when disasters happen. We gave to North Carolina. We've given to hurricanes. We've given to everything. Your generosity, my generosity, that gets us ready. So when it's time, boom, we're ready to go. We don't have to pass the plate and raise an offering for it. We're ready. We've got the money for it, and we're going to be able to do that. So thank you for doing that. And just wanted you to see their face, put a little more personalization than just what we see in the news. So let's continue praying for God's help in that situation. Tough stuff happening there as well. So we're going to be in the book of James is where we're going to be. It's a cold time in Houston, but we got warm hearts. We got warm scripture. Our worship leader in the previous service, he said, you know, we're getting ready for the winter storm, which is what everybody else in the nation just calls winter. But for us, it's a big event, right? So this may be the last time we join together for who knows how long, but hopefully not. So we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're in the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. God the Father is Jesus's dad through the Virgin Mary. Joseph and Mary is James's dad. That's what I mean by half-brother of Jesus. And so James is a leader in the Jerusalem church. We talked about last week going through trials. It's not if we go through trials, it's when we go through trials. And that we've got to journey through them and we've got to make it through them. They're going to come our way, but we can choose to respond with joy. Not that we like what's happening, but we want God to do something deeper in us and through us with that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to see this trial theme continue on. Last week he gave us, if you remember, we kicked off with a Legos theme and he gave us basically a building block that we're going to have a building block of endurance. That was last week. We're going to build a little bit. And then this week we're going to look and we're going to see the building block that we're going to have here of not just endurance, but we're going to have the building block of wisdom. And we're going to keep building upon that in these next couple of weeks. And so we looked at endurance last week, but wisdom this week. And I want you to look in James chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, it's a key verse of scripture. James chapter 1, verse 5. And here's what it says. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. So here we have the very first thing he talks about asking for wisdom. Let's define wisdom for a second. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. You can be smart, book smart, doesn't mean you're wise. You can be wealthy, doesn't mean you're wise. You can be talented, doesn't mean you're wise. You can be famous, doesn't mean that you're wise. Wisdom is a God-given ability, and we're going to see we got to ask of it from the Lord to live life in a skillful fashion. Let me give you a couple of quotes here on what wisdom means. Wisdom is the quality. I like this one, kind of funny. Wisdom is the quality that keeps you from getting into situations where you need it. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. A wise man learns by the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. Harvard Business School. Experience comes from what we've done. Wisdom comes from what we've done badly. Last one. Wisdom is the reward you get from a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Now, when you think about wisdom, you can get all of those things and all of the, we can wrap all that together in a big bundle. I put for you in your listening guide just a basic definition for us from Webster's Dictionary, and here's what it says. Having the capacity for sound judgment marked by deep understanding. That's a pretty good definition. The capacity for sound judgment marked by deep understanding. Now, the scripture is filled with wisdom. In the Jewish tradition, wisdom was a really big deal. Proverbs is all about wisdom. Proverbs talks about seek wisdom above anything else. Solomon, King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Seeking wisdom is what we're after in seeking that. Now, when we talk about it here, it says here, now, if any of you lacks wisdom, that word lack is a word, it's a financial word. So being in lack, that you're in debt, that you don't have wisdom. Now, remember those things way back when called checks? Do y'all remember those things? They were paper, and you would write things down, and you'd have to think about how you're going to spell this whole thing out on that one line to put that down together and to write out all those words. And you write it down, you put something in the memo, you'd rip it out, and you'd mail it off, and then it'd get there, and blah, 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 blah. Well, those were called checks, students, is what those were called way back in the day before Venmo and Zelle and all these other things that happened. You know, we'd write a check. Well, I remember in college one time writing a check, wrote my check out. I sent it off to the people, and then the bank sent me this really nice note back with my check. Had three letters. NSF is what was stamped on it. It wasn't a scratch and sift saying, good job, you did a great job. It was saying, you don't have any money in your account is what it was saying. Now, thankfully, it was because of a little glitch in the system. I had millions and millions and millions as a college student, but just kidding. I got this NSF. It meant I lacked funds. I did not have sufficient funds is what that means. This is saying here that wisdom, any of you lacks wisdom, that if you have insufficient funds for the wisdom that you need. And let me tell you who lacks wisdom. Everybody. We all lack wisdom in different situations. And that's why God wants us to call out to him and to say, we need it. And here's the deal. It's one thing to bounce a check at the bank. It's another thing to bounce a check in your marriage. It's another thing to bounce a check in your relationships, in your workplace. It's one thing to bounce a check with some money, that'll take care of itself. It's another thing to bounce it in your purity. It's another thing to bounce it in your parenting. It's another thing to bounce it in your business. That's a whole different thing. See, knowledge, you can have a lot of information, but wisdom is knowing what to do with that information. And this whole thing is in the context of a trial. So we can't get where we think, okay, verses 1-4, that was about a trial, and then this is about wisdom. It's about having wisdom in the midst of a trial. Last week, I gave you four things on if you're going through a trial, because all of us are going to go through a trial. The four things that we talked about last week, number one, admit you can't make it on your own. That's the first thing when you go through a trial. Lord, I can't do it. Number two is give it to the Lord. Number three is make a plan if possible. And then number four is trust that he will give you what you need, that he will give you what you need. And so in this place of wisdom, we need to look at it in this context of a trial and say, God, in the midst of trials, I need your wisdom more than ever, ever before. It's not about knowledge. You know how much knowledge we get? We have knowledge all around us. Here's what one man in his book called Why We Remember, the doctor that wrote that said this, the average American is exposed to 34 gigabytes of information in one day. Now, I don't really know what a gigabyte is, but 34 of them sounded like a lot, okay? So we had to kind of bring it out a little bit further. A gigabyte, 34 gigabytes would be this, 11.8 hours of information in one day. Imagine somebody just telling you stuff for 11.8 hours. You're getting all the information in one day. He goes on, he says this, it's not surprising we don't remember everything. On the contrary, it's surprising we remember anything. Do you feel like that? I mean, we got to have so much memory. We don't have enough memory in our phones anymore. We got to have an iCloud now to remember all of our things, right? We got to put all our pictures in there to save all of our memories, to keep all of that going. So here we have this on and on of information. Well, information's not going to do it for you. Wisdom is what's going to do it for you. And wisdom is gained by God, from God. Wisdom's gained from God. Now, Solomon was the wisest man you could ever imagine. And it said in 1 Kings chapter 4, here's what it said. God gave Solomon wisdom, very great insight and understanding as vast as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone, wiser than, boom, 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 boom. They list off all these people. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about trees and the cedars of Lebanon and on it goes. So Solomon, incredible, incredible wisdom. How did he get that? He asked of God. Now, here's the great news I've got to tell you. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of the Lord. All we've got to do is ask of God, and we can get it. Now, we end up getting ourselves in trouble when we don't ask God for wisdom, and we end up making a mess for ourselves. And sometimes our trials are self-induced. A friend sent me this after last week's message. This is a picture he sent me. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you just make bad decisions. And how many of us like that? Instead of asking wisdom from God, we're just making bad decisions. Now, God can rescue you from those bad decisions, no doubt about it. But instead, let's say, God, let's ask you, we ask you for wisdom. We need wisdom. We want wisdom. We're asking for wisdom. Let me tell you something I have prayed for almost every day for the last probably 30 years, for wisdom. God, give me wisdom and give me leadership. And what I mean by leadership, I don't mean that I can be a leader. That's not what I'm saying. Give me leadership. Like, I want to follow you. I want you to lead me, God. Now, yeah, give me leadership in the sense, let me have wisdom in leading the church as well. But Lord, I want wisdom. I need wisdom. Do you know that you are an insufficient funds of wisdom? We need wisdom. We need to ask it from the Lord. We need to seek it from God. We need to call out to God and say, Lord, we want it from you. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 is going to tell us how we're going to get this. How are we going to get this wisdom? We're going to get it in this way. Verse 6, but let him ask of the Lord in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. That first part of verse 6, how do we get wisdom? But let him ask. Let him ask in faith. What a deal. He will give us wisdom if we ask. But here's the problem. We don't ask. We don't ask. The reason we don't pray is not because we're too busy. The reason we don't pray is because we're too confident. And we've got to be able to say, Lord, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your work. Let him ask in faith. That's simply prayer, isn't it? Let him ask of God. Let him ask in faith. That's prayer. See, build your faith, not your doubts. Build your faith, not your doubts. And one of the ways you build your faith, and one of the ways I build my faith, is I build it through prayer. We build it through prayer. Now, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. So they wanted to pray, they just didn't know how to pray. You want to pray, and I want to pray, we just don't always know how to pray, which is kind of crazy, isn't it, that we don't know how to pray? I mean, how hard is prayer? This is not rocket science. You fold your hands if you want to. You bow your head if you want to. You close your eyes if you want to. You bow your knees if you want to, and you talk to God. It's really not that hard, but we don't really do it, do we? Because we do get busy, or we are too confident, or we just say, well, I don't know what to say, and then we pray for like 3 minutes and feel like we prayed for everything in the world. Well, lifting it up and saying, God, pray. So I want to just take just a moment, and I just want to teach us to pray. Teach us just for a second. This isn't the whole deal. It's just a little bit of the deal. See, when we grow in Christ, when we bend our knees, there's no doubt about it. We grow in Christ when we bend our knees. When we stand strong, I don't need wisdom. We're not going to grow in the Lord. When we bend our knees and ask for wisdom, we grow in the Lord. And so here's two things. I want you to write it down in your listening guide. Two things that you need if you're going to grow in your prayer life. This is just from my own prayer life, ways that I've tried to go. You ready? Here it is. A place and a pen. A place and a pen. Well, that doesn't sound too hard. Let's start with the place. Let me ask you, do you have a place in your house that's your prayer place? Do you have a prayer place? Now, I know you're like, well, no, I just pray on the couch. Yeah, but you also watch TV on the couch. That's going to make you grab that remote control. That's going to be your kind of muscle memory there. Well, I don't pray on my couch. I pray at my desk. But that's also where you pay your bills. You may even write checks right there, right? You got stuff on your desk. Well, I pray in my bed. Well, that's even worse. That's where you go to sleep, right? Do you have a place of prayer? You don't have to have a big house. You don't have to have a fancy house. You don't have to have a prayer room or a prayer closet. But do you have a place that you just kind of go, and when you get there, your muscle memory says, I get on my knees. I call out on God. This is where I pray. This is where I pray. Do you have a place of prayer? Number two, do you have a pen? A pen, just a little big pen. That's all I'm saying. It could be a fancy pen. It could be a plastic pen. Doesn't matter. Do you have a pen where you can write down some things? Let me just show you from my own life. I brought this. I've got these two journals here. I've got this one here. This is at my house. I have a prayer kneeler bench in my house, in our bedroom. And so I pray on that, and I just have it opened up. And I got my little pen right there next to it. And I just have this opened up. And so when I open this up, I just got prayer requests. I write down the date. I write down a prayer. I do it in both of them. I write down the date. I write down what I'm praying for. And I skip a line so I can write down the answer. And then I skip a line, write down the next prayer request. I skip a line so I can write down the answer. I skip a line. This is the one that's in my office. I have my prayer kneeler in my office, a prayer kneeler there too, so I can get down and pray and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. And so I have just these two things, and these are just two tools. You can go to Corner Books and get a journal. You probably got them in there. You can get them off the internet, whatever you want to do. And I just have it sitting there. So it's sitting there, opened up, and I write it down. And you know what I do? I put little check marks next to it. I think the check mark is my most favorite part of all of life. I love checking things off. It is the best feeling in the world. I told y'all before, I write down things I've already done just so I can check them off. It feels so good. So I pray for it, and I check it right then. I pray for it. I get a check right there. I get a way to go. This is awesome. That helps it release endorphins in my body, I guess. I don't know. And I get that little check, and so I just check things off. And then I come back around, and I wrote, man, went great. So it was awesome. What a great time. Still praying about it. Whatever it is, I just keep writing these things down to be able to do that. I have a place, and I have a pen. That's it. And I'm not saying I'm the professional prayer guy. I'm just saying here that let us ask. Let us ask. If you lack wisdom, which you do, and I do, let us ask with faith. Let's ask with faith and call out on God. Do you know that James, who we're studying here, he had a nickname. Church tradition gives him a nickname. Do you know what it is? He's called Old Camel Knees, is what he's called. Old Camel Knees. Now, why? Because it was said that he bowed in his and got on his knees in prayer so much that his knees were calloused like a camel's knees. So he was so prayerful, he was old camel knees. Now, husbands, if you are wise, you will not call your wife old camel knees, okay? You will not say that to her. You'll just say, honey, you're a prayer warrior. I appreciate your prayers. You are going for it to the Lord. I appreciate that so much, but don't call her old camel knees, all right? But what an amazing thought that he was so in prayer that it had signs in his body. It had signs around him. I remember hearing an old story, and it really just affected me in a great, very positive way. An old story of a pastor that someone walked into his office and they saw his desk and they asked, well, why is the carpet worn out on the side of his desk? He said, I understand why the carpet's worn out behind his desk. He's got his chair and he's rolling around, and you wear out the carpet when you kind of roll around in your chair behind your desk. We all get that. But why is the carpet worn out on the side of his desk? And the person that was showing him the pastor's office said, that's where the pastor kneels down and prays. And at that moment, when I heard that story, I thought, I want the side of my desk worn out, not just the back of my desk worn out. And I just ask you, do you have a place of prayer? And is it just the back of your desk that's worn out? Because we all got to do a lot of work. There's a lot of computer to do. There's a lot of things to do. A lot of phone calls to make. There's a lot of work to do. So we're going to wear out the back of our desk. That's going to happen. You're going to wear out that carpet. But I'm just asking, you're going to wear out the side of your desk as well. Whether you have a desk or not, it's not the point. My point is this. Are we just working and flurrying around all the time? Are we bowing down and saying, God, I need wisdom. I need your help. I talked to a friend this week. He lost his biggest client of his business this week. He lost him. Not because of any bad reason or anything, just the company got sold and everything got moved around. I lost his biggest client. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm so glad God gave me wisdom not to make that big purchase I was going to make a few months before for the business. Because we'd really be in a world of hurt if we'd have bought that and where we are now. See, he was on the side of his desk, not just the back of his desk. Old camel knees with James. Let any of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask prayer in faith. in faith. Let's wear out the carpet in faith on the side of our desk, not just the back of the desk, because if we don't come in faith and we come in doubting, it says we'll be tossed about like the wind and the waves on a sea. Can you picture that? Do you feel like that when you doubt whether God's going to give you wisdom, whether he's going to help you through the trial? I don't know, is God faithful? Is he not faithful? Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Hey, if you're a Christian, you're either going to make it through it or he's going to get you out of it. One of the two things. You keep going in faith in that midst of that trial. But when we end up in that place of doubt, I don't know. It's he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. I don't know. And we get tossed about. What did Jesus say? He stood up in the boat and he said to the wind and the waves, peace be still. And wisdom can give us that in our heart. Doesn't mean we like it. Doesn't mean we want the trial. But it does mean that God can see us through. Let me ask us this question. What would our life look like with the wisdom of God operating in our finances? What would our life look like with the wisdom of God operating in our marriages and our relationships? What would it look like to parent with the wisdom of God coming through you? What would it look like to be single with the wisdom of God coming through you? What would it look like to work and to deal with coworkers and bosses and employees and wherever you are in the pecking order at your workplace? What would it be like to deal with wisdom and to wake up each morning and say, God, on the side of my desk, I'm asking you for wisdom, because dealing with this coworker or dealing with this client or dealing with my boss or whatever it is, it's a hassle and it's not real good. I need your help. See, the metaphor of tossed about like the wind and the waves instead of standing firm in faith and wisdom. Let's ask for wisdom. I want to encourage you. This whole message in a nutshell. Pray for wisdom every day. Ask God for wisdom. It says that he gives it generously and ungrudgingly. That word ungrudgingly means without like scolding. So you're not going to come to God and you're going to say, Lord, I need wisdom. You're going, oh, come on, man. You should know this by now. He's given generously. He's like, I've been waiting for you to ask. I don't want you to doubt, because your doubt's going to sway you back and forth. I want you to hold firm in your faith and trust that I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to see you through this. Now, let me say a word about doubt, because we all doubt. We all doubt. There's doubts of, did God really create the world? There's doubts if Jesus is really the Messiah. Did he really rise from the dead? All of those sort of things. Those can be doubts. We can have those doubts. And those doubts can actually build our faith. We say, well, I don't know if God created the world. So we do a little bit of study and we go, wow, this is a pretty amazing thing. This is a bit, it takes more faith to believe that he didn't create it than it does that he did. Look at the complexity of this whole thing, how this all works. And so we can have our doubts and they can turn into a greater faith for us. And then there's doubts with what we're talking about here, where they kind of pull against each other. I'm either going to walk in my own wisdom because I doubt God, or I'm going to walk in God's wisdom. And I want you to know that your doubts can strengthen you. Take your doubts to the Lord. Give your doubts to God and allow him to do his work in you. Let me give you some famous doubters. C.S. Lewis struggled with doubt. Most prolific Christian writers of all of our modern times struggle with doubt. Martin Luther, leader of the Protestant Reformation, he struggled with doubt often about his own salvation and God's plans. Billy Graham struggled with doubt. Let me show you a quote from Billy Graham. Feels like Billy Graham writes verses, but he doesn't. He just has quotes. Billy Graham, here's what it says. The Christian life is not a constant high. I have moments of deep discouragement, and I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me or help me. That's Billy Graham. He doubted. Doubting Thomas in the Bible. He doubted. I'm not going to believe he resurrected until I see the nail scars in his hands. James right here. John chapter 7 verse 5 tells us that he didn't believe until he saw the resurrected Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. And so there's doubts that take place, doubts that take place. Build your faith, not your doubts. Build your faith, not your doubts. And there's nothing wrong with doubting if you'll go find the truth about it, right? If you just wallow in it, then you're just going to get thrown about. Go find the truth about it. There's no problem with doubting if you can realize in this context, I'm trusting in my own wisdom instead of trusting in God's wisdom. Pop over to the other side and ask the Lord for wisdom. Are you regularly asking God for wisdom? Are your doubts pulling you back and forth? Are you trusting God that God can give you wisdom? Don't stop praying, asking God for wisdom. Heard it this week, Matthew West, his song, Don't Stop Praying, such a great song. It says, and don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor, carpet on the side of the desk. Don't stop believing, cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying. God gives generously, generously. You know what that means? Without a second thought. You ask for wisdom, God's going to give it to you. Without a second thought. But the question is, will we ask for wisdom or will we just doubt? Verse 7 and 8, let's look at that as we wrap up. Verse 7 and 8. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Now, that's a strong verse, but here's the point I want to give you. God's wisdom is greater than today's worries. God's wisdom is greater than today's worries. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That when we honor God, when we're reverent before God, when we fear God, not just in like boots shaking, but like, Lord, you're amazing. You're God. You're holy, holy, holy. I'm not. And I honor you. And the honoring, the fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So James here is saying, I want you to trust, not doubt, but trust and ask for wisdom. And because if you, in verse 7, it says that that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Now, I wish I could make James sound nicer. He's a shoot straight kind of guy. I kind of want to come along and be like, yeah, but James, don't be so harsh. I mean, but he says, look, if you're going to doubt and you're going to do your own thing, don't expect God's wisdom. You're not asking for it. Don't expect it. Because you're going to be double-minded and unstable in all your ways. Now, really interesting, as we begin to land the plane, this unstable, double-minded, here's what it means. It means to be two-souled, two-souled. So you got a foot in the world in your wisdom. You got a foot in heaven and God's wisdom. You're kind of going back and forth on your doubts and your wisdom. And he says, don't be two-souled. Don't be a one soul for earth and one soul for heaven. Don't be double-minded and torn between God and the world. This is a recipe for instability. This is a recipe for constant conflict, to just be pulled back and forth. Have you read the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan? It's a Christian classic. I would encourage you to read this book and get the updated version. It's hard to read. Old books are hard to read. We just don't talk like that anymore. And so it's hard to read, but get the updated version and read that book. You'll enjoy it. It's an allegory. It has all these different things in it. And so they name different people, like the names of the people are basically the characteristics of the people. And there's a person in Pilgrim's Progress, and here's what he's named. Mr. Facing Both Ways. Does that make sense to you? Mr. Facing Both Ways. I love the world. I love the Lord. I love sin. I love holiness. I love my way. I want God's way. And here James is saying, don't be Mr. Facing Both Ways. Be Mr. Facing God's wisdom. Not, I got God's wisdom. I want my wisdom. I got God's faithfulness. I believe I'm walking in doubt. I'm back and forth. Instead, don't be Mr. Facing Both Ways. You can't love God and mammon at the same time. You can't love the world and God at the same time. Let's be Mr. or Mrs. or Miss facing one way, trusting God for his way. Job 28:18 says this, coral and quartz are not even worth mentioning, but the price of wisdom is beyond pearls. So we're going to go through trials and we're going to need endurance. For consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So we build our little blocks here, and we build, and then we build not only on endurance, but we build with endurance. We say, Lord, we want to build with wisdom, God. We need your wisdom to make it through this time. And what happens is basically we pour out all of our life before the Lord like this, a bunch of Legos, and there's an app that's called the Brick-It app. I'm learning a lot about Legos in this series that we're going. It's called the Brick-It app, and you can get it. And what you do is you take all this mess of all these Legos here that you got, and you put them all out on the table, and you take the Brick-It app, and you scan over, and it goes boop, 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 boop. It identifies all of the Legos that are there, and when it identifies it, then it says, this is what you could build with that. Here's this mess of Legos, and if you'll scan it, I'll show you here, and you can just scroll through what you could build with this set of Legos that's laid out. I submit to you this. If you and I will pray for God's wisdom, trust God's leadership, what God will do, not an app, apps are great, God's better. I'll take a G-O-D over an A-P-P anytime, right? Won't you? Yeah, amen. Take the G-O-D, not a G-O-D, the G-O-D. And God, in his wisdom, he scans this mess of our lives and he brings all these building blocks together and he says, here's what I can build with your life in this moment. So what does James say? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. There'll be a lot of different kinds of trials in your life. Knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. Why? Just because I'm mean and I just want to give you a bunch of trials? No. So that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks in wisdom, let him just ask of the Lord. For God gives generously, without reproach, ungrudgingly, without a second thought. But let him ask prayer in faith. Because if he doesn't ask in faith, then his doubts will make him like a man that is tossed about by the wind and the waves. And he'll be unstable in all of his ways. And that man should not think that he's going to receive anything from God. For he is unstable in all of his ways. He's Mr. Facing both ways. And instead, we want to be people that say, Lord, we don't like the trial. We don't want the trial. We wouldn't wish it upon our worst enemy. We want to get through it or get out of it as quick as possible. But Father, we trust that you're doing something deeper in us and deeper through us that has eternal significance. So God, in the midst of that, I'm going to ask for wisdom. I'm not just asking, is it right or left? I'm asking for wisdom of how do I make it through this? And I'm going to trust you and I'm going to live life skillfully with your hand in my life and with your direction. And God can use your wealth and God can use your education and God can use your skills and God can use your platform and God can use your famous if you're famous. God can use all those things, but it doesn't negate wisdom from God. So here's your homework. Every day this week, and let's just make it the rest of our lives, ask for wisdom. Get a place. Get a pen, get a piece of paper, and write it down. And get the feeling of a good check mark next to it. And ask God to do something. Instead of just going, well, I don't know. I don't have time for that. I'll just figure it out. Walk with God. Students, listen to me. If you began praying for wisdom every day as a teenager, you know, number one, how much trouble it's going to save you from? Save you from a whole lot of trouble. You know how many lions you're going to not bang as a monkey with a stick? I mean, take it from the rest of us, right? Can I get an amen from the adults? Amen. It'll save you a lot of trouble. And number two, it will make you somebody really, really special. That God will use you in some great ways, and adults as well. Let's walk in wisdom. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We love you. We thank you. We ask you, God, that you would do your work in a powerful way. Move in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We trust you. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, God, that you would do what only you can do, God. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. We need it so much, Lord, and we trust you. Speak to our hearts and our lives. Pray right now. Just simply say, God, give me wisdom. Even better, if you've got a specific area you need wisdom, ask him for it. James just told us he's going to give it. We ask you, Lord, for wisdom. Students, ask for wisdom. We love you, Lord. We thank you. You're amazing. You're great. You're good. You're kind. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.